Why do negative comments and conversations stick with us so much longer than positive ones? A critique from a boss, a disagreement with a colleague, a fight with a friend, the sting from any of these can make you forget a month's worth of praise or record. If you've been called lazy, careless, or a disappointment, you're likely to remember and internalize it. It's somehow easier to forget or discount all the times people have said you're talented or conscientious or that you make them proud. Chemistry plays a big role in this phenomenon. When we face criticism, rejection, or fear, when we feel marginalized and minimized, our bodies produce higher levels of cortisol, a hormone that shuts down the thinking center of our brains and activates conflict aversion and protection behaviors. We become more reactive and sensitive. We often perceive even greater judgment and negativity than actually exists. And these effects can last for 26 hours or more, imprinting the interaction on our memories and magnifying the impact it has on our future behavior. Cortisol functions like a sustained release tablet. The more we ruminate about our fear, the longer the impact. Positive comments and conversations produce a chemical reaction too. They spur the production of oxytocin, a feel-good hormone that elevates our ability to communicate, collaborate, and trust others by activating networks in our prefrontal cortex. But oxytocin metabolizes more quickly than cortisol, so its effects are less dramatic and long-lasting. This chemistry of conversations is why it's so critical for all of us, especially managers, to be more mindful about our interactions. Behaviors that increase cortisol levels reduce what I call conversational intelligence, or CIQ, or a person's ability to connect and think innovatively, empathically, creatively, and strategically with others. Behaviors that spark oxytocin, by contrast, raise CIQ. Over the past 30 years, I've helped leaders at companies including Boehringer Ingelheim, Clairol, Donna Karan, Ixai Technologies, Burberry, and Coach learn to boost performance with better CIQ. Recently, my consultancy, the Creating We Institute, also partnered with Ryan Smith, CEO of Qualtrics, the world's largest online survey software company, to analyze the frequency of negative, cortisol-producing versus positive, oxytocin-producing interactions in today's workplaces. We asked managers how often they engaged in several behaviors, some positive and others negative, on a scale of 0 through 5, in which 0 was never and 5 was always. The good news is that managers appear to be using positive, oxytocin, and CIQ-elevating behaviors more often than negative behaviors. Survey respondents said that they exhibited all 5 positive behaviors, such as showing concern for others, more frequently than all 5 negative ones, such as pretending to be listening. However, most respondents, approximately 85%, also admitted to sometimes acting in ways that could derail not only specific interactions, but also future relationships. And unfortunately, when leaders exhibit both types of behaviors, it creates dissonance or uncertainty in followers' brains, sparing cortisol production and reducing CIQ. Consider Rob, a senior executive from Verizon. He thought of himself as a best practices leader who told people what to do, set clear goals, and challenged his team to produce high-quality results. But when one of his direct reports had a minor heart attack and 3 others asked HR to move to be transferred off his team, he realized there was a problem. Observing Rob's conversational patterns for a few weeks, I saw clearly that the negative, cortisol-producing behaviors easily outweighed the positive, oxytocin-producing behaviors. Instead of asking questions to stimulate discussion, showing concern for others, and painting a compelling picture of shared success, his tendency was to tell and sell his ideas, entering most discussions with a fixed opinion. Determined to convince others he was right, he was not open to others' influence. He failed to listen to connect. When I explained this to Rob and told him about the chemical impact his behavior was having on his employees, he vowed to change, and it worked. A few weeks later, a member of his team even asked me, "What did you give my boss to drink?" I'm not suggesting that you can't ever demand results or deliver difficult feedback, but it's important to do so in a way that is perceived as inclusive and supportive, therefore limiting cortisol production and hopefully stimulating oxytocin instead. Be mindful of the behaviors that open us up and those that close us down in our relationships. Harness the chemistry of conversations.